Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, August 25, 2020. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. Well, I'd like to remind everyone to please help support RBN when and with what you can. It is almost entirely listener supported. We have a few sponsors, but the bulk of our bills are paid by the listenership. So please do what you can to support. And I mean, anyone who can spare regularly, I mean, regular contributions are immensely appreciated by our station owner and guru, John Stadmiller, who certainly has the most noble and altruistic of intents behind the formation and maintenance of this radio station. And of course, as I say, this is always a platform for all of you, the listeners as well, to keep truth alive out there. So please help out with what you can. And there is a chat room for those who appreciate healthy, respectful debate for my show. My show's chat room is Beyond T-O-N, for Beyond the Official Narrative, beyondton.chatango.com. If you want to get in there and mention your thoughts on the discussion. So, this airing, we have Graham Sutherland joining us, residing in Inverness, Scotland. Graham has been an active independent researcher for many years, maintaining many news and information websites and groups. Graham is the host of his radio show, 21st Century Jacobite, on Revision Media, and administrator of the Facebook group, The Real Worldwide Truth Movement, which has grown considerably over the past decade. Graham advocates a sovereign lifestyle and describes himself as a revolutionist. We'll be discussing Graham's independent, off-grid lifestyle. And I'm very pleased to have him here today to share this topic with you. Well, we are just trying to adjust Graham's volume right when we connected. Graham, hello.
Yes, hi, Richard. I've turned it up 10 decibels.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, yeah, we can hear you pretty good volume, loud and clear now. Yes. Yes, so you're speaking to us from over in the UK. I've been trying to, I have a few people I know in Europe, and you're certainly among them. I've known you for 4 years now. We've been doing radio side by side for most of those 4 years, maybe little gaps there, where you took a hiatus and I went to a station in the interim there. But well, we both started out on Truthcat Radio right about the same time. I interviewed you after chatting on Facebook, and you started your show as well. And now we've both been doing shows on my platform, and now here on RBN, I definitely am very excited to be able to share your insights from Inverness, Scotland, with the listeners. What's that?
I think I was one of your first guests.
You're right. You were my second guest. Yes, a musician friend of mine. I met in college. I had him on for my first guest as my first guest, and then you were my second guest. Absolutely. I actually noticed your group on Facebook. A lot of people these days, with all the censorship and Big Brother spyware on Facebook, don't like it. But you know, some people still network there. I'm among those. You know what I mean? I have a radio show professionally. That's another reason, and you as well. I noticed that group had, at the time it had 37,000 members in your group, and now it's grown a bit more. I know it's waxed and waned a little bit, but yeah, about 10 years you've had that going. But yeah, we were both on Truthcat Radio in the at the start, you know. But I know you did college radio way back when as well. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. But it was mainly, there was a little bit of talk. But it was mainly music. It was mainly spinning discs.
Okay. All right. But still, you got comfortable with that live broadcast environment and speaking possibly intermittently on the air.
Yeah.
But I mean, most of your life, growing up, I'm sure you've been, as I mentioned, a researcher independently looking for the news behind the official narrative, so to speak. Thus the name of my show there. Maybe you could give us for a couple of minutes briefly, just a quick bio, you know, on growing up, you know, your childhood or how you came to, to be such a truth seeker, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was always very curious. Even as a little boy, 7 or 8, 9, 10, I was always very curious. And as soon as I learned to read, I couldn't stop reading. I was just absolutely obsessed with it. I suddenly realized that I could read anything. You know, I wasn't restricted to children's books, which was quite a milestone. And I can remember I must have been about 12 or 13. My older sister, she's 7 years older than me, she got married young. She met her boyfriend when she was 14. I think they got married when she was 17. And they had a very happy marriage. However, he gave me a full set of encyclopedias called Knowledge. And I started reading them in my bed every night. And basically, over a period of 18 months, 20 months, something like that, I'd read the whole entire set of encyclopedias that he gave me. And I found school quite boring because I was way ahead of everyone else. I'd kind of self-educated myself, way beyond everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's still alive. My dad's an engineer, and he's a very intelligent man, and he was always on hand. If I had any questions, or if I didn't understand what a word meant or a term, he was very, very helpful, in that regard. So I had a head packed full of knowledge by the time I was, 13 or 14. And I remember my dad also brought home Heinrich von Däniken's books. They were really famous in the 70s. There was Chariots of the Gods, In Search of Ancient Gods, and Return to the Stars. Now, it was a trilogy at the time. He's written books since then, I know he has, but that was the three books that my dad brought home. And Heinrich von Däniken, he's a self-educated man, a bit like myself, and he's got a different way, a different narrative and a different way to look at things. And it's quite interesting because you can pick up one of his books and you can tell just by his flow, just by his cadence, just by his attitude, that he's very open-minded and indeed self-educated. He's not stuck in the same rut as state education people are. Anyway, I found his books absolutely fascinating. In fact, I read In Search of Ancient Gods. I actually read that twice. I remember picking it up again a second time, reading it all through. And that put me on that track, really. That was when I was about 14. I was absolutely fascinated by ancient Egypt, the ancient Incas, Babylon, the Middle East, basically, the Arab cultures. Oh, I'm just fascinated by all of that. And then, of course, another thing it really gripped me when I was a teenager was the Bermuda Triangle. I remember reading a couple of books about it. And ancient civilizations have always fascinated me. And then, of course, dinosaurs. Found dinosaurs absolutely fascinating, and I started. I picked up a book from somewhere, and it was basically ancient paintings, And it was all the ancient paintings from, you know, way back, like, you know, 12th century, 13th century, that showed men and dinosaurs together. So I kind of realized that what they were teaching in school, you know, that dinosaurs were millions of years old or billions of years old or whatever. I realized, you know, even as a youngster, that theory was highly questionable, to say the least.
Well, yeah, I've heard some of those theories as well, but it's really hard to say that there's much evidence. Like you say, I mean, some depictions, but on the other side of things, too, we hear that, I mean, so many things are refuted. I've heard people criticize, for example, tree rings and question whether the validity of tree ring dating is accurate or not. There are so many people who vary on a lot of these opinions, especially with ancient dating and the progression. I definitely hear you there. Yeah, I mean, maybe we should move on for the sake of brevity, though, to this main topic here. I mean, off-grid living. You know, you set an example. I mean, you're a role model, I'd say, from everything I heard you tell me. You're an inspiration for people. You basically were starting from nothing. So you're going to basically inspire people, I think, today to explain to them how you've accomplished that. You know, you started from nothing. You mentioned this was with a land purchase for cash initially, as far as where you currently live. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I live beside Loch Ness, the famous Loch Ness. In fact, I'm only 400 metres away from it. So, yeah, I got tired of city life. I was brought up in Aberdeen, which is it's the third biggest city in Scotland after Glasgow and Edinburgh. And it's also, Aberdeen's also the oil capital of Europe. It's an oil city connected with North Sea oil and stuff. Anyway, I just got a bit fed up of city life. My heart was always in the country. When I was growing up, my dad had although we lived in the city, my dad had a house in the country that he'd bought, a kind of, well, semi-derelict kind of place. And, it was wind and water type, like, but over the years, we did a lot of work in it, and my dad taught me a lot of skills. I never realised, you know, at the time, I was expanding my skill set. I was just giving him a hand, but my dad had me doing quite complicated carpentry work and, you know, masonry work and stuff like that as a teenager. So I had a kind of attitude where I could kind of do anything if I just put my mind to it. And that's my dad's way as well. So, yeah, so I bought a plot of land, as I say, near Loch Ness, right in a glen. Which is a valley. That's a Scottish name for a valley.
You know, Graham, actually, if you could speak a tiny bit louder and a little closer to your microphone, it might help a lot, because there is a bit of background noise. We need to have you replace that microphone, I think. But please.
Sure. No, I've moved it a bit closer. So, yeah, so I bought this plot of land with a planning permission to build a house near Loch Ness. It's like 400 metres away from Loch Ness. And 6 miles to the nearest small town. I just thought it was beautiful. The mountains, mostly forested. It's mostly trees, it's mostly woods that surround me. But I'm right in a riverbank, and that was the reason I fancied the plot. Because if you're on a riverbank, as soon as I seen it, I thought, oh gosh, that's great. This is a salmon river. It's also got trout in it, so you know if the shit ever hits the pan, at least I've got.
Well, we'll be careful with that language on the air, there, sir.
Sorry.
Yeah, we definitely don't. But you would have a place right there on your land where you could catch fish, and of course the irrigation for crops for growing as well.
That's right. Yes, that's right. So, but anyway, I bought it and. It had actually been used as a local tip, so it was quite messy. you know, they'd actually been tipping over the bank, basically. And when I first bought it, the first thing I had to do was clear it. There was a lot of small trees I had to get rid of. And then I had to clear up all the metal. Someone had dumped big cast iron ovens, like commercial ovens, and they were quite hard to get up. I actually had to tie a rope on them and pull them up the bank in. And some of the other stuff, cast iron stuff, I had to smash it up with a heavy mallet, a heavy hammer, and drag it up. But anyway, we eventually got all the metal up. And I actually sold it. I think it's 2.5 ton. 2.5 ton of metal. I sold it, and I remember I was quite surprised. I got over £200 for it, which is it made it worthwhile. So I cleared the site. That was me kind of clearing the site, and then I got in a static caravan, a big caravan. I think you call them trailers. It's basically a 32 by 10 or 12, that kind of size. I put that on the site, and then I set about, just establishing a kind of homestead. Really, the next thing I did was I was able, because I put the trailer on here, I was able to live here, and that made a huge difference. Because instead of travelling, I was travelling. I've got a boat. I was living on my boat. I've got a boat in Inverness, which is 25 miles away. I was living on the boat, but I was having to drive up and down basically every day to work here until I put the trailer on the land. I've still got my boat, by the way. It's an American boat, actually. It's a Sea Ray Sundancer, 37-footer. 6 berth, 500 horse. It's some boat, like.
Wow. Sounds very nice.
Yeah, it's a fast cruiser. It does about 33 knots. So yeah, I've still got it. I've just not had a lot of chance to play with it for this last couple of years because I've been so busy down here. But anyway, right. Yeah. So once I got the trailer down, I've got electricity, just mains electricity initially. I got it wired in, and then I set about finding out where the nearest water main was. Now, the nearest water main was across the other side of a main road, and that was going to be really expensive for me to get traffic management to close the road, you know, to make a trench across the road to put water pipes in. So I was just taking water in initially, just carrying water in. And every time I was carrying water in, I was taking in, like, you know, a 10 gallon at a time or whatever. And I had to travel 7 miles to get a shower because I didn't have running water. And the first thing I did was I hooked up the toilets to a rainwater catchment. So although I didn't have running water, I had flushing toilets. That was the first thing I'd done.
We have the break coming up. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll be right back, folks.
All right, sure.
Lost the way, fair, lonesome, and you listed maniacal.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, speaking today with my guest Graham Sutherland in Inverness, Scotland, talking about Graham's independent off-grid lifestyle. Now, Graham is mentioning how he started from nothing with a land purchase for cash. He developed a cabin gradually. We hear him mention how he had a trailer, a mobile unit on there. First got electricity going, electrical feed wired up to him. And then he's now talking about water, actually trying to get all of the things we would need for everyday life. So, Graham, if you want to pick up where you left off.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Richard. So the next thing I did, the next thing I planned was to get, I had to test the water. I knew it was kind of good because there's freshwater mussels live in the river bed, and that's always a good indicator that the water's of a good quality, because if there's a slightest bit of pollution or contamination by, you know, pesticides or fertilizer or whatever, it'll kill the freshwater mussels. So, yeah, the river here has a history of freshwater perils, actually. Now, they banned that, but they used to, gypsies used to come up here in wagons back in the day. There's paintings of them, fishing for freshwater mussels right here in my river. Interestingly enough, the big pearl on the Queen's Crown Jewels came out of this river. It's called the Morriston. That's the name of the river, the Morriston. And the glen here is called Glen Morriston. So anyway, so I knew the water was good, but I just wanted to be sure. So I got myself a testing kit, and I tested for everything, basically. I think I did 20 tests, 21 tests, including lead and pesticides, bacteria, other metals, all that kind of stuff. Also pH, So anyway, I got I tested the water myself and realised it was quite of a high quality. I also tried some of my whiskey. I thought that would be a good that'd be a good thing to do. But no, I spoke to some of the locals, you know, and they said that they used to swim in the river, and as kids they would drink out of the river. So I kind of knew it was okay anyway. Although it's quite peaty, quite brown. The water's quite brown. And if you're not used to that, you know, water coming down off the hills, the mountains, if you're not used to seeing brown or brownish fresh water, it can kind of take you back a bit. It looks kind of weird in the bath. When you put it in the bath, it looks a bit odd, you know. It looks kind of, but it's very good for you, very soft, good for your skin. A lot of minerals in it. Anyway, so yeah, so I set about getting myself a Makita pump. I got a Makita pump, and I put the Makita pump in the river. Now, I was a wee bit worried about it sucking up any little, you know, bits of sand or whatever and damaging the pump. So I got myself a dirty water pump, what they call a dirty water pump. It'll actually pump silty water or whatever if it needs to. And then what I did was I put the Makita pump inside the drum of a washing machine. The stainless steel drum, it's got the little tiny holes on it. Now, I had to make a marine ply lid, you know, I had to dismantle it out of the washing machine, obviously, first. That's quite tricky. But anyway, I did that, and I made a marine ply lid for the thing with a twist lock. And on the other side, that used to go into the motor, there was like a shaft sticking out. So I actually bolted a cross piece onto there, and I made a lump of concrete. I put a lump of concrete on it, and used a basin, a plastic basin, as a mold, just to give it a bit of weight, because I knew I couldn't just throw it in the river. I knew I'd have to go into the river and basically dig a hole. Now that's quite a struggle. It's pebbly. You know, there's a lot of pebbles, so I had to kind of, one of my friends helped me, but we got a hole maybe about a metre across and 3/4 of a metre deep, and it took us hours, because as you're taking the stones out, you know, they're always falling back in with it, you know, because it's, the water's flowing, obviously. So yeah, that was tricky, but yeah, we got there in the end. We got a hole taken out for it, and I dropped the whole assembly with the weight down, obviously, into the hole. Now, I had to do that because 5 or 6 miles up this river, there's a dam called Dundregan, and every Tuesday it automatically opens and lets out the overflow. So on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, the river's really high. Sometimes if there's a lot of water behind the dam, it can be...
Here, we have another break. We have another break coming on. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Stick around.
Oh, dear, right. Okay. That could reveal the true dimensions of life, lest we forget.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888 800-910-1037 or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
On Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting, with Graham Sutherland, and he's talking about his off-the-grid living. Graham, we have a bit longer segment here, so you can continue with your describing how you ultimately dealt with this water situation. You said the dam created an issue for the times when the water would rise, or I don't know if you could continue explaining, please.
Certainly, thanks, Richard. Yes, so the dam, there was a lot of dams built here after the war, Richard, let you understand. They were built in the early 50s to the mid-50s. There's actually two dams up the river here. One's called Pentregan and one's called Clooney. The Clooney one's the biggest, and they produce electricity, of course, a lot of electricity, because there's a lot of rain here, especially up in the mountains, a lot of rainfall. I believe it's 4 times the amount of rainfall as it is on the East Coast. So that'll give you an idea. 4 times, so that's the official figure, 400% more than the East Coast. Because you're right in the middle of Granite Mountains here, and of course that causes, condensation and precipitation and all that good stuff. Anyway, so yeah, every Tuesday, the second dam opens automatically, and the river, really, sometimes if it's been a lot of rain, the river goes right up. You wouldn't want to fall in it because it's quite fierce. So I had to protect my system, which was basically a Makita pump inside a washing machine drum. I had to basically bury it so that only the and put big boulders around it to let the water through. I never put small shingly stuff around my drum. I put big boulders in, so the water could freely flow in and out. So the top of that thing I made was basically just slightly above the riverbed, just a few inches above the riverbed. And they put a couple of big flat stones on top just to keep it down. So I needed to dig a trench then to put the water pipe and the electrical cable in. So I run it, I'm about 10 metres, maybe 8 to 10 metres above the river. So I had to run an Alcatine pipe and a cable up to where I was living, up to my cabin. Now, I was right at the limit of what the pump could push, because the pump was advertised as a 10-metre head, which means it can pump up 10 metres, but it can also, you can also stick a pipe on it and stick it down a well and pump an additional 6 metres. So that's 10 and 6, that's 16 metres in total. So I knew I was probably safe enough. So I tested it, and it worked. And I was able to put a tank in, I had to put it through a filter because it was sucking up some, not a lot, but it was sucking up a little bit of a weed, or what would you call it, like seaweed, you know, algae kind of stringy algae stuff.
Plant matter.
Yeah. So, but not a lot. It was taking up a little bit. So I put it through a 20 micron filter, which is classed as a coarse filter. And then I put it through, I've got a secondary pump. So that first pump just pumps it up to a tank at my back door. So okay. I've got a tank at the back door. And that is about as far as that pump could manage, basically, because it was quite, although it was a 10 meter lift, it was also about a 20-meter distance.
Relative to the strength of the pump. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so 20 meters on the horizontal axis and 10 meters on the vertical axis. That's what I had to come up. And also I had to bury the pipe. Because, you know, I didn't want, although plastic pipe, Alcatine it's called, although it's fairly frost-resistant, you know, it'll stretch if it freezes. It's still good to bury it. It's just good practice to bury it. So I just buried it. I basically buried it in a dug a trench and buried it. It was quite easy because the riverbank was quite sandy and not particularly stony. So that bit was easy. But I needed a second pump. I needed a smaller pump, a secondary pump, to pump it from that tank underneath my cabin and up into a water storage tank I've got in the apex of my workshop. Now, that was one of the...
I'm just going to ask, did you have either of these pumps set to any timers eventually, or did you always do it manually, on and off?
Well, I've always done it manually, Richard. However, it's a system that's evolving. It's, you know, I've been doing different bits and pieces to it, I just wanted to see if it was... I didn't even know if it was possible.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fascinating. It's great. You know, we only have like 10 minutes and then like 4 minutes after the break left. So let's move on here to the other categories. We were going to talk about, we've discussed developing a cabin, water, electricity. And you also mentioned some other topics here, council services and having to address the matter of sewerage. And then, of course, food, you know, including market gardening, fishing, hunting. And then my last topic, if we have a couple minutes at the end, but just data transmission, internet. I mean, you are being where you are. That's great that you have that. But I mean, council services. Now, this is important, right, for everyone, basically.
Well, yeah. I mean, we our council around about here, well, it's the same right across the UK. You get three wheelie bins, and they're all different colours. And one is for... garden waste, and the others for recyclable materials like glass and aluminium cans, and the third one is for landfill, just basically everything else.
But okay, you did manage to find people who would come to your location then for pickup for all these services? That wasn't a problem for your distant, kind of remote location?
No, that's the thing, Richard. I don't produce any waste. I use everything. I use absolutely everything.
That's right. We were discussing this yesterday. Please, so continue. Describe that for the listeners.
So I separate out my I separate out my steel cans and my aluminium cans into two big bags. I flatten them. I always flatten them, compress them. And everything else, you know, plastic, paper, cardboard, all that kind of stuff, it gets burnt in the stove. So I'm using it to heat water. So I'm not wasting the energy in all of those styrofoam containers and everything. I just burn them, basically, and use it to heat my water. Now, kitchen waste and everything else goes into my vegetables. I put all that into my, well, I compost it, and that goes into my vegetables. So I don't actually produce any waste as such. And I can sell the aluminium and the steel cans when I've got a big enough bag. You know, I'll take it to the scrapyard and I'll just sell it. And turn
that's
it into,
brilliant.
Yeah,
just that's just excellent. Cash. Yeah, and then of course you've mentioned all different types of scrap metal. You'll separate even with hobbying, separating the gold from little circuit boards, even things like that. But as far as you're having a market gardening source of food, that's excellent. As you say, you call it a market gardening, but yeah, you know, growing edible produce. And then fishing, you mentioned having that stream right there. Hunting, I'm sure you've incorporated that as well to gather your food. That's great. I mean, you know, I'm sure we could go on, but at the same time, perhaps there are some callers out there who could be curious to speak to you, ask a few questions about off-the-grid living or
sure.
Compare anything. That number, 800-313-9443. Folks, feel free to call in with the time we have left. Speak with Graham Sutherland in Inverness, Scotland, about an independent off-grid lifestyle practices.
I've not touched on the electrical system yet either.
All right, well, if you want to go into that briefly while we see if we have any callers come in, please.
So, yes. So, I bought a battery bank out of from an electric forklift company. So, these are, I've got 12 2-volt cells. Now, they're almost 2 foot tall, and they're about 6 inches by 3 inches, and they're 2 volts. So, I've got 12 of them, which gives me a 24-volt system that's charged by solar panels. Now, I only had 2 solar panels at first. That wasn't enough, so I've had to go up to 6. So I've got 6 solar panels now charging these batteries, and I've got the voltage stepped up from 24 to 220 or 230. And that's how I power my TV, my lights, my pumps, my coffee machine, my computer. Everything is run through an inverter into my battery bank. Now, sometimes when I'm not using electricity, I can sell it back to the grid. I've got a two-way meter. I don't need them. Only for emergencies. So most of the time, I can produce more than I actually need, which is a great feeling. And you know, it's not that complicated. I'd never done a system before. But I just read up about it. You only need 3 elements, basically. You need solar panels, you need batteries, and you need an inverter. That's basically it. There's one or two other little things you need, but that's basically it. And that's you, producing, I've got enough electricity for just about anything.
Oh, well, great. Well, and we have a call on the line for you, Graham. We have... Tim in Wyoming. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Yeah. Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
thanks,
Tim.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask Graham. Actually, I think you may have just mentioned it while I was calling in your electrical system. I wanted to know if you're using solar or do you have a hydroelectric by any chance? Because you said you have a flowing stream right there. I wonder if there's enough gravity gravity for the, or, well, gravity's anywhere, but you know what I mean. If there's enough, if there's enough water flow for a little water wheel for you to run a generator there, if that's something that you do.
Oh, do you know this, Tim? I've actually I've thought about that and I've researched it, and I've looked at all the different systems. It's something that really excites me, and there's always a flow, so it would produce a steady stream of electricity. It's maybe something for the future. However, I was surprised, very surprised, how efficient these new second generation solar panels are. My ones are 265 watts a piece, and I've got six of them.
Wow.
And yeah, and they even work in the moonlight.
That's amazing. They work in
really
moonlight.
Is.
That sounds like something a person who lived on a sailboat would need too. Because, are they the flexible type, or are they the kind you can conform to fit them to wherever you like to fit them? Or obviously, you must have some sunlight. I mean, you have a nice wide open space where the sun can hit them enough and produce enough electricity. You must have some acid, or excuse me, some sort of electrical storage unit of some kind. I mean, lithium polymer, or I'm not sure. Well, what do you have? Do you have batteries for your storage? So
I use old forklift batteries, Tim. I've got batteries out an old forklift. They're 2 volts a piece, and I've got 12 of them. And I got 12 batteries. Yeah, they cost me £280 for 12 of them. And I tested them all before I bought them, and they were all pushing out fully 2 volts. And I cleaned them. You can clean them with bicarbonate of soda. You take the acid out. You clean them with bicarbonate of soda, and then you wash them out with water. You flush them, and then you put the acid back in, and that optimizes them. So they're all pushing out fully 2 watts, but they are, I think of 260 amps per cell. So that's a lot of amps.
That's amazing. You could even do some welding there if you had the facilities to do that. You could build you could be using that metal that you I heard you saying earlier about selling the metal that you your metal cans, your aluminum cans, and your steel cans. You could actually use them to weld or use them for material to weld weld things if you wanted to. But I better go. I wanted to ask you about your electricity. I'm glad that You're storing it. You don't have to sell it back to anyone, or can you do that there? Are they, or will they allow you to? Would you be able
yes,
to
you
sell your excess power if you wanted to?
Yes, you can. You get a special meter, you're producing more than you need, and you can just feed it back into the grid.
Hmm. Great. But you're far enough off the grid that you. You could probably just keep on storing it yourself and use as much as you like.
Yeah.
And
yep. Yeah, that's
right. Well, thank you very
much. It's a lot easier than people think.
Well,
it's a lot simpler.
I'm in Wyoming, and a lot of people, there's a lot of remote areas here. I mean, amazingly enough, you're probably closer to civilization than a lot of areas in Wyoming would be, even if you are off the grid, as you say. But there are a lot of people here that use solar, and they use I don't know about geothermal. I'm not sure how much geothermal there is in Wyoming, but actually I know there is in Thermopolis and other cities. But they have their own ways of using electricity around here. Some people have generators that they run on natural gas all year, and they're off grid that way too. So, okay, well, thanks a lot, Graham. I appreciate it, and I'll listen to the rest of the show, which is only a couple minutes. So, sorry to monopolize
all right.
The last couple minutes, but thanks for taking my call. Okay,
thanks for the call, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Please call again if you like. We'll be right back. We have a break. Stick around.
Okay.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we're back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, with guest Graham Sutherland. We're talking about is off the grid living. Graham does a show, 21st Century Jacobite, a radio show every Thursday. You can check out his show or his archives as well at Revision Media. And he can be contacted through the contact page there. If he doesn't get your message, we've had a little trouble with his email recently. You can send it to me or the station there. Just send it to me, and I'll make sure he gets any correspondence. But we have a few minutes only left, Graham. If you'd like to just sum up, just some of your thoughts on advice, I suppose, for people who want to try this.
I was just going to say, Richard, that anyone can get a hold of me through the Facebook group, the Real Worldwide Truth Movement. That's always a good way to catch me. I was just gonna say, a lot of people are of the impression that if you go off grid, it's going to be real basic, and you'll have to put up with hardship and stuff. It's not like that at all. I've actually fitted a double jacuzzi, And I've had the luxury, I've waited a long time for it, like, but I have the luxury of being able to relax in a nice bubbly hot bath every night. It's fantastic. And I don't have to go anywhere, to travel to get a shower or whatever. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be basic. You can make it as luxurious as you want it, really.
Well, that's very inspiring. When I hear what you've described, it sounds like things that are attainable for a lot of people. They just have to take that first step, I suppose, which is really just deciding that they're going to live that way, that they want to do that. And then everything else should be easier once they've made that decision. So many people are just obsessed with the modernized, ultra-urbanized world, you know, and megacities is exactly what Agenda 21 wants, Graham. So you are definitely a great inspiration. We need to inhabit the rural areas, countryside, as much as we can.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Richard, it's a bit dangerous, really, because if you, if you default on your electricity payments, they'll just cut you off. If you default on your water rates, I mean, people that's on the mains have got to pay water rates and sewerage rates. If they're hooked into the main sewers, they pay water and sewerage charges. It's like £400-odd a year. If you're off grid, the first thing you need to sort out is either a composting toilet or a septic tank. One of the two, septic tanks probably less work, because if it's working properly, the bacteria will, decompose and just consume itself. So you don't ever need to empty your septic tank. You've got to be careful with those, though. You can't put bleach or anything down because that'll kill the microbes. You've got to keep it nice and full of bacteria to work properly. And then you'll never have to empty it. So, yeah, I had a septic tank in my last house, so I was used to it. I had 20 years and I never had to empty it once. Like I say, you just got to be careful what you put down. You can't put any harsh solvents or bleach or anything down a sewage system with a septic tank, or you'll just totally destroy it.
Well, thank you so much, Graham. Looks like we're out of time here, but it's been a pleasure, and we'll definitely have to have you back soon. So have a great weekend. Enjoy your day.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
And thank you, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.